B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to sing, Murray?
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
Here we go.
Not in any wacky voice or anything, but...
Nah, just do it.
All right.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hello, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. Gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing, Pablo?
What's up, boys?
How you doing? Paul Perillo, Patriots.com in our Town Fair Tire Studios, as he is every single Wednesday during the football season. Let's start with Antonio Brown, shall we?
Oh, okay. Why not?
Thank you. On the field.
I thought we could continue the little Red Sox talk.
Nah, you know, that's too easy. I could do that for 4 hours.
Completely get myself out of trouble on that.
I really could. Antonio Brown, on the field, off the field, just your thoughts. Your developing opinions as they stand today.
I mean, on the field, I don't think there's anybody around here, certainly not on this show or anywhere else, that would deny the talent, right? I mean, I think everything we know about him as a wide receiver, you saw flashes of on Sunday. I mean, he has unbelievable quickness and speed and understanding, I think. And you could see it right away, you know, settling into zones just the way Tom probably wanted it to unfold. And then, you know, there's probably going to be a little bit of a learning curve. You know, in the second half, I think they adjusted a little bit as to the way they attacked him, and it'll take some time. But on the field, I mean, what are we talking at worst here? Second or third best receiver in football, maybe even the best?
Like, how does it not work ultimately?
Absolutely. You have the best quarterback with one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers. That will work on the field. I don't have any doubts.
Okay, off the field.
I mean, I'm like most other Patriots fans, and I'm sort of watching it and, you know, catching myself getting too excited about the possibilities offensively while holding my nose. I mean, it's you can't help but have that part of it in the back of your mind. But again,
you find him hard to root for.
It is. I mean, and he's not the only guy. There's guys all around the league, you know, that I find like that. You know, Tyreek Hill, we spent a lot of the time in the offseason talking about in Kansas City. Wonderful talent, right? I mean, special kind of player on the field. Special kind of guy off the field, too, and not in a positive way. And I watch him, and I see some of the things he does when the Chiefs are playing, and I'm like, ugh, it's too bad that guy's such a dirtbag. Because he's a pretty good player.
So, Paul, when that story came out earlier in the week from Sports Illustrated, which detailed some other incidents involving Brown, my initial reaction was, this guy's not going to make it. He's not. Do you feel similarly? Will you be surprised if he lasts?
Yes, because I don't feel like we've heard the last. I feel like once something like that starts,
yeah,
someone else is probably working on something similar that might have even more damning details. But I'll be curious to see, you know, more than anything, how the NFL reacts to this. And, you know, I know you guys were talking about the Daniel Wallach piece. I don't think they're going to use the commissioner's exempt list. I don't really agree with Wallach on that.
Why?
Because I feel like they're going to play this one safe and try to see. I think it might be a little bit of both sides. Like, why doesn't the team handle it? And then the team is like, well, if the commissioner's not doing anything, why should we do it? And at the same time, what I think is happening is both sides are buying time for more of the process to unfold. And that's what the Patriots have maintained from the start, that they want to let the legal process unfold. I don't think that will be quick. And if that's the case, I'm not going to be surprised if Brown stays and he's here all year.
So, you know, I've been bringing up the Monday payment of the $5 million. I feel that's significant in some way. You know, do you give him the $5 million if you think there's a real chance that he's exempted or suspended, or you're going to have to release him because another story drops? And it's sort of like, if you're going to make a move on him, you want to do it before you give him $5 million because you ain't getting it back.
Yeah, you know, as I was driving in, I heard you talking about some of those things, and I wish I had done a little bit of research on it. I know you get paid if you're on the exempt list. Can you release a guy off the exempt list would be one question.
Right.
So in other words, if you pay him, I mean, do you have to pay him anyway?
Right.
If you intend to keep him and he's on the exempt list, if he's owed money, I think Bert Breer said the 23rd?
The 23rd, Monday.
So if he's on that exempt list, do you have to pay him anyway? or you were allowed to release him and then therefore not pay him. What I don't really understand, and no one's been able to explain this, and I've asked a couple of people, but not necessarily people that would have the answer. He played a game for the Patriots already, and he's owed a signing bonus. How can that signing bonus – how can he not get that signing bonus
if he's played?
If he's
See, that's
played?
How I feel. This is the question I raised last week.
Yeah, that's right.
That, like, you know, if you're the Patriots, do you play him or not? And I said, well, if you don't play him, if the team chooses not to play him in that first game, they can then justify releasing him and not paying him the signing bonus. Once they put him on the field, aren't you obligated to give him the signing bonus?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair question, yeah.
I mean, the whole idea is once you play for us, you know, you get that bonus, right? Like, right. Once you join, that's what you get. So then if they wanted to recoup that, they shouldn't have played him Sunday. Like, that would be my argument if I were on his side of it.
So just from where you sit, Paul, do you get the sense that the team is confident he's, you know, in the clear for this year, meaning...
I do.
Yeah, that, you know, they got him for this year and you know, no other shoe's going to drop in the short term.
They're at least hopeful. I don't know how confident you can be, but yeah, and I think they're like the rest of us. They watched on Sunday and they saw the possibilities, the potential. And I do think Bill going out and making a move like this is telling you that he thinks that there was a piece missing. Especially now equate this to the offensive line, because there might be some bumps in the road here coming up in the next few weeks. And boy, it would be nice to have a guy other than Edelman that can immediately uncover. And Brown's that kind of guy. I mean, like I said, on the field, this is a home run because he is a rare combination of speed and quickness.
Yeah.
Edelman is as quick as they come.
His footwork is tremendous.
His footwork is incredible. And this guy has that kind of footwork with straight line breakaway speed to make, you know, big plays as well. So I don't think Gordon necessarily fits that kind of thing as gifted as he is.
He's not quick.
He's not as quick. So I think if you're going to have some problems, and Tony, I know you know from our email this morning that you're concerned about the offensive line, and rightly so, doesn't that lend itself to – well, Tom's probably going to want to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, especially early in games when he's not necessarily sure how his protection is going to be. It'd be nice to have someone other than Edelman that he can look at, and so, I think Brown's that kind of guy.
Are you concerned about the line as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just the depth. I think there's four guys now since the start of the – since final cuts, quote-unquote final cuts, I think they've added four different offensive linemen, or in the days immediately around final cuts. So, yeah, he's still searching for some depth pieces, and a couple of guys, you know, he said it, I think, heading into the final preseason game, Bill talking to Zoe in the pregame show, you know, that Schwenke, you know, and Jared Veldheer, those guys would have been on the team. They would have been on the roster had they not retired.
Right. People forget that those guys bailed early.
Right. You know, and it's everybody sort of fixated on Adrian Waddle.
Did they both retire, Paul?
They both retired, yeah. Schwenke was here last year. He was injured on and off the roster, but he was here. And obviously, Veldheer, they gave a little bit of money and they gave him some incentives. They wanted him to compete for a job with Wynn and at worst be the third tackle. And those two guys retired on him, and now you're sort of scrambling for the Cunninghams and the Benenox of the world. I like that name.
So, Paul, I look at the whole landscape, right? And these two things tie together in my mind. That you're talking about Antonio Brown being here, what you've had to sacrifice in terms of your image, if nothing else, or public relations to bring him in. You've got all types of injuries and issues on the offensive line. Why wouldn't you trade someone and go get Trent Williams?
Yep.
Trade a pick for Trent Williams. Why wouldn't you go? I mean, at this stage, shouldn't you do that?
I mean, we think they've tried.
Yeah, I do believe that, Mike. Yeah, that report that was sort of immediately poo-pooed, which I think there's a lot of really good reasons why you would want to back away from that when you didn't actually get the player. Yeah, we talked about this a lot on our show today on Patriots.com. I just think it makes sense. A lot of people have been writing in, calling in, asking us about Jalen Ramsey. And I think Ramsey's terrific, but I don't think they have an apparent need there. The guy, if you're looking to make a blockbuster trade and trade a first-round pick plus something else, it's Trent Williams.
I agree
with Tony. You plug him in at left tackle, and I think that settles everything
down. Then try again. I mean, the timing has changed.
You still
and I know,
have a few weeks. You still have about 6 weeks before the deadline.
Right. Washington's leverage.
What are the Redskins hanging on for? They should be in a rebuild.
I agree.
And they're getting a lot of criticism for it in Washington.
They should.
So, look, if you want to say that the Patriots don't have leverage right now and Washington can hold on to the price, fine. Then if I'm the Patriots, you want to wait a couple of weeks and say, well, we're not getting them for a full season now. We're getting them for less.
Yeah.
Then fine. Do that. Whatever it is, go get a tackle. They played without two starting tackles this past week. And one of them may not have been a starter anyway. We don't know about Wynn yet. We think he is, but who the hell knows?
And now he's going to be out for a while. Cannon may or may not be back this week. You know, he might be still a week away. So now you're going to start going into games with three missing starters on the offensive line. That's a tough way to play.
Okay, so Patriots football with Perillo. And your thoughts right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Patriots phones. Oh, we're giving away Patriots tickets. We're giving away Patriots tickets in, this segment.
The Dirty 30.
I'm ready for this.
Okay.
So, I made a little cameo last week in that. I want a bigger role this week.
So, again.
Just another name for the phrase that pays.
We're going to take your call, but you have to repeat a Dirty Rex Ryan phrase that he uttered to his wife years ago with her feet hanging out that car window. And
Is it okay to touch them again? Really beautiful feet.
You gave it to him. I wasn't going to give it to him again, Jimmy.
They deserved it one more time.
You're very kind. You have to repeat that phrase to win the tickets.
Is it okay to touch them again? Really beautiful feet.
So just to be clear, the first person who calls the contest line, he gets potted up and he has to repeat the thing? Or is it a specific number?
You tell me.
I would say the first person who calls the contest line, we'd pot him up, we'd take his name, and then if he repeats it, he wins. Boom, we're done.
And if you're calling,
he won't get it right, and then we'll go to two, and we'll go from there.
You got it. If you're calling now, you're cheating, and we will not stand for cheating here in New England. Paul can attest to that as a member of the Patriots. Okay,
I don't think you're funny.
We don't stand. We don't countenance.
He isn't Paul
cheating here.
We don't do jokes.
So if you're calling now, you've already lost because we have this super high end software technology that targets you. And record your phone, and you won't get through.
And crashes constantly.
At 9:30, when it's actually time to win the tickets.
Play it again. I want to hear it again.
At 9:30?
Sorry, 4:30. Go.
All right, here we go.
Is it okay to touch them again? Really beautiful feet.
Got it. That wins you free ones.
It's the Dirty at the 30.
Okay, here's a Dirty Rocco in Saugus. Yes, Rocco.
Yes, listen, for Paul, first thing, the offensive line. I mean, remember 2015, Brady took a beating when they saw the win out and we were just, you know, putting a lot of, you know, bums in there. I mean, this is basically the same thing. We can go undefeated. What are we doing? You don't buy a Lamborghini and put regular. Go get the premium tackle. Go get him. Go get that kid from Washington, Williams, whatever his name is, or anybody. And Paul, really quick, you look like that actor, Noah Emmerich. Has anybody told you that, buddy? Thank you.
No, I
never heard of the guy
I
talking
hope it's
about.
A compliment, though.
Okay, do you think Brady's going to take
go
a beating?
Go ahead, Tony.
Do you think Brady's going to take a beating this year, Paul?
No,
me neither.
And the reason why is twofold. First of all, I have too much respect for Dante, and I think you know. And I understand, you know, sometimes people just say, "Well, Dante will fix it. Dante will fix it." He took a beating when Dante was the offensive line coach at times. I just think that he is so much better at getting rid of the ball.
Brady is.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, and you look at it and you say, well, 20-plus years, what are the things? He does kind of look a little like me.
That guy's way more handsome. Go.
He's wicked handsome. I do think that, you wonder, what can he possibly improve after all these? I think that's one of the things that he's generally done. You remember, Mike, when we were first around, he would stand in the pocket and take some hellacious hits to make throws downfield. And it was one of the things everybody loved about him, right? He was so tough. Now I think he looks at it different and says, incomplete passes aren't the worst thing.
He bails out constantly.
And it's a good thing. And this is not meant as a criticism. I think he's keeping himself healthy. I think that's one of the reasons why he's been able to stay, I think, a little bit fresher later in seasons as he's gotten a little bit older here.
So I don't see him taking a beating. I don't think he'll I don't think he'll let himself take a beating. But the offshoot, and not that it's going to matter in the near term here with the schedule, but things like you saw last year in Pittsburgh, where he's bailing out of throws and he's not hitting guys or not hanging in there to complete the balls, and so the ball's hitting the ground. But I don't think he's going to hit the ground.
Yeah, and now once in a while, like that game in Pittsburgh, you could look at that, and we can come on here the following week and say, yeah, Tom's got to stand in there and take a hit there. The game's on the line. No, it's one game. You know, during the regular season, he looks at it. And here's the other thing, when you sort of have that comfort, knowing we're going to be playing in the middle to late January at the minimum, I can lose a game. I can avoid a hit to lose a game because it's not going to kill us. Now, what I worry about with the offensive line isn't the whole season. To your point, Michael, I don't worry about him taking a pounding week after week after week. I worry about one game. I worry about the 2015 AFC Championship game. One game, does another team just apply so much pressure that the offense couldn't perform? That I do worry about.
Well, look, and historically that has happened, not just then. Oh, we have breaking news?
We have breaking Patriots news, folks.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So the first injury report of the week has been released ahead of this Sunday's game against the New York Jets. And Tom Brady, quarterback Tom Brady, on the injury report for the first time this season. Limited today at practice with a calf injury. What do you know, Paul Perillo?
I know, I just read the injury report.
good job hitting the button, asking questions later.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything more than what it's presented on face value. I have been trained over the years to sort of ignore Tom Brady's presence on the injury report, but I love the jingle, and I'm happy to play along. Yeah,
but already hurt, offensive line in shambles.
All right,
they
got to
do something.
Hurt.
It's proof he's on the injury report. It's called the injury report, Paul.
It's actually called the practice participation list, but that's okay.
That's just fancy for this guy's hurt. We need to trade for Trent Williams right now.
Maz is making a face.
Well, look, I'm just wondering. I'm trying to figure out when it happened. I mean,
me too.
And you know, he sneaked, right? There was a sneak in there.
For a touchdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if he got popped on the leg on that one. Or I'm trying to think of where there were a couple of plays where he stepped up in the pocket and maybe strained a calf or something.
Yeah, maybe
he
did it last night at his TB12 event where he's trying to be as tall as Adano Chara when all the photographers are there. Just see that? He's like,
are you guys for real now?
I mean, I don't have any doubt about him playing.
Save this for the 5 o'clock hour.
No, he's joking.
Yeah, but I'm not questioning whether or not he's going to play. He'll play. But, you know, it's probably nothing, but you know, if it's on there, then my wheels start spinning.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. He might be hurt, but he plays, right? That's what we know about him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't miss unless it's a season-ending deal, and so that I get. I wonder if it happened today. You know, because that's what I would say. If he has a strained calf, and the one thing that does just pop in my head is these calf injuries recently that turn into Achilles. You know,
not gonna lie, that did. You know, that did pop into my head because I think he's dealt with
Achilles in the past.
In the past, yes.
So Durant becomes an Achilles. The Andrew Luck thing, I guess, didn't, but became much. It was just a strained calf, and the next thing you know, it ends his career. And I'm not saying that's with Brady. I'm just some gray area with those calf injuries. And if it was bad, would he be out again on his feet last night at charity events? He was at a couple, so he was sort of running around a little bit. I think he was at James White's thing as well. And then he went to the TB12 opening and .. trying to stretch out and be as tall as Sedano Char. So he's not doing that with a strained cat. Did it happen today at practice? Did something, you know, strain
it's
today
possible.
At practice?
Good question.
It's possible. But I think Tom has been on that injury report a lot over the years, and it doesn't really affect him.
You mean a 42-year-old guy can pull a calf muscle?
But I'll say this.
Jeez, I never would have guessed
that. I think the injuries are real. Like, I think when he's been on there, that he's actually been, I mean, the hand thing in we mentioned with 2014 or whatever, or 2 years, whatever that was, in the playoffs, that thing was real.
Yeah, I don't think they just put him on for the sake of doing it. I think he deals with stuff, but I think that he has played, as the way you put it, he's often played with various problems, and he's none the worse for it. Right shoulder, calf, the hand thing. I mean, there's been a lot of different instances where he's dealt with something, but he plays through it, always.
We continue. The tickets are coming up. Stay tuned for that. Ray and Revere, what do you got for us?
Hey, Michael, before I get to my football point, I just want to let all your listeners know I started a GoFundMe account to send you back to Minnesota.
Milwaukee,
so,
thank you.
Don't worry about it. We'll take care of that.
Okay.
Hey, listen, Belichick's just applying the same deviant calculus he's been applying since he had a coked-up Lawrence Taylor coming out the edge. and that is he puts the monkey on the commissioner's back to take a guy off the board or not. And it's pretty easy. If Goodell clears him, he got an asset that was valuable. If Goodell gets rid of him, he can say the league had better resources and he supports the league decision. Either way, he's put the monkey on Goodell's back, and that's the calculus.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know what the point is there. I mean...
Yeah, but again, I wouldn't even say that he's doing that, because then you're saying that Bill Belichick is relinquishing control to the league to decide whether or not Antonio Brown is going to play for the Patriots? Since when does Bill relinquish control to anybody?
And how smart is it to give someone $5 million and then potentially have him suspended or exempted for the year, and you have no control over that? I don't know. Is that genius of a move?
No. See, I disagree with that entirely. It's like, well, let me take a shot here with $5 million bucks, and, you know, we'll see, put it on the commissioner's plate and see if he can handle it. Since when? You know who he's really putting it on is the owner, because he's spending his money.
Yeah.
So this is why it comes back to Kraft, is that, you know, the story comes out that Ian Rappaport reports Robert Kraft would have stood in the way had he known. Oh, come on. Robert Kraft knows now, and the money's not due till Monday. Yeah, so release him now.
I feel like the bigger thing is I think Bill looked at it as an opportunity to get a player that has immense talent that I think he feels could be a missing piece. I think he looked at the offense, and it was hard because this all got wiped out with the performance against the Steelers on the Sunday night. But heading into that game, and I can tell you I felt this way, and I know a lot of others did too. I didn't know for sure what they had offensively. I thought they might be able to run the ball, but I wasn't sure beyond Edelman what they were going to be able to hang their hat on in the passing game. That night, everything looked good in the passing game. Edelman was excellent. Dorsett was excellent. And Josh Gordon was excellent. So you were looking like, hey, maybe they don't need this guy. I don't think Bill felt that way. I think Bill felt, I need something else. I need another piece. Now, he's always been enamored with the talent. The caller's right about Lawrence. If you have that kind of special ability, he will make exceptions. And this is a guy that I think you make exceptions for.
Okay, let's give away Patriots tickets. It's time for the Dirty at 30. First two callers. First caller. Okay, we have two lines on the contest line, so that's why I say the first two.
Oh, boy.
if number one misses, we go to number two. That's all I'm saying. But the first caller to get up on the Pride Motor Group Prime Motor Group contest line. See, now you've crawled in my head, Murray.
Pride Motor Group contest line.
Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. The first one on that Pride Motor Group contest line who repeats the Dirty at 30 phrase. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on New York this Sunday at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans two times double points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes the cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary, limited time offer. That was smooth as a Swiss watch.
We're
right
all set
there.
With caller one.
Okay.
The Dirty Wordy.
Okay, you're first in line.
Chris in Foxborough. Chris in Foxborough. Hey. What's the Dirty at 30?
I'm in. Hey, those are really nice feet. Can I touch them again?
And? No, that's, is that it?
Yeah, give it to him.
Yes, you absolutely.
Do? Yeah, close enough.
Okay, yeah. Fine. You win.
Is it okay to touch him again?
Let me touch him.
Chris, I'm putting you on hold. Don't go anywhere.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Yeah, he just kind of got it backwards.
He said it in reverse.
Yeah, but I give it to him.
Yeah, close enough.
It's a low
absolutely
standard.
Absolutely close enough. Okay. After last week?
If that's our phrase that pays, we have a low standard.
I'm just fine. The judges, fine.
Yeah. Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Chris and Foxborough, congratulations. You win. Are we giving away any more tickets today?
Nope, this was it.
Okay, so that was actually a clean operation.
Wait till you hear next week's phrase.
Except for my read. Maz likes this game, doesn't he?
I love it.
Here comes an update again. If you haven't, if you missed it, breaking news with Tom Brady today at practice. Here are the details with Murray, and then we're back to discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk world down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Paul Perla, what are your thoughts on the state of the league?
Oof. The injuries are tough, right? You know, and that's never good. I know a lot of people look at it and they're immediately, well, yeah, that'll make the path easier for the Patriots. But I don't think it's a good thing when you get guys like Roethlisberger and Luck and now Drew Brees in New Orleans. I think it's always better when you have the best players are playing, right? Especially in, you know, it might be corny. I know you don't like the sentimental stuff, Mike, but it's the 100th season and, you know, you're dealing with all of this. I'll tell you, put Brady and Mahomes in bubble wrap now. You know, and maybe throw Rodgers in there too. You got to make sure you keep some of these guys healthy, or who knows what's going to happen.
Seriously, they are one injury away from a completely useless season.
Yeah, really. And to me, the big one's Mahomes. I mean, say what you want about Kansas City, and I understand Brady's Brady. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of the league, Brady's like, you know, been there forever. Mahomes is the hot new thing in the league. He is like, you know, he's and that Kansas City offense. Whether you like the Chiefs or not, that offense is dynamic. It's great to watch. You know, they got a great offensive mind as the head coach, a quarterback, big play weapons, and even with Tyreek Hill out, if Mahomes goes down, who's the backup there?
Matt Moore.
Oh. So, like, it the whole thing changes.
Yeah, that kind
right?
of an offense especially, it'd be tough.
Oh, because Mahomes' whole appeal is in the flash. Like, the thing is just it's awesome to watch.
So what strikes me in the short term is just, again, the division. I know we spent so much time talking about it, as we should, about what a joke it is and how bad it's been. But, you know, 20 years later, Paul, like, they're no closer. In fact, the gap keeps getting bigger. It keeps getting worse. I mean, Miami's had 20 years to catch up to you, and they are in the middle of a complete, epic, historic teardown.
Yep.
And they haven't even reached bottom yet. The Jets are about to go right back into the lottery and are farther away from you than they've ever been. So it's not like, you know, they've had 20 years to do this, and they're not any closer. In fact, they keep getting farther and farther away.
Yeah, that injury, and no one really even mentions that one because the Jets weren't a playoff team with or without Darnold. But that's a really unfortunate one for them because they feel like they have their guy. He's a second-year guy. That's when you want to see some progress. And now he's going to miss at least 4 or 5 games. And then how long does it take him to get up to speed? Because, you know, that's you're dealing with an illness where there's going to be some weight loss, some strength loss.
He also can't practice. He can't be in the facility because he can't infect other people.
He might not be right all year.
Oh, my God.
It might be a total waste of a whole, you know, the whole year two of his development. And then who knows? You know, maybe he's not that good to begin with, but, you know, maybe you just stunted it. And you're right. They're just as far away as they've ever been.
With mono.
I mean, and, you know, we mentioned this. There's 2 20-point underdogs this week. 2 20-point dogs in 1 week for the first time since 1987. 32 years.
Who are the two underdogs?
This year, the two underdogs are both AFC East teams, of course.
Yeah, I was, you know, and I knew that you would fall right into that and all that stuff.
Easy.
I tried to do it with Fred today, Fred Kirsch, on Patriots.com, and he kind of was half paying attention. I said, you know, just coincidentally, there's two AFC East teams, but, you know, we joke on Patriots.com. You guys are...
You just don't like our
what's
tone.
The joke? It's true. There's no joke. It's a fact. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
No, but you sort of intimate that that's the reason why the Patriots are good.
It is.
No.
See, part of it.
You see?
No, it's see, that's how the sense he takes it, but it's just, it's a fact. It's
whatever division the Patriots have been in, right? 6 titles they'd have, right?
That's what the fan thinks.
That's what I think.
Well, see, I'll tell you what. I'm not convinced of that, and I'm not. Look, I'm exaggerating. But it is factored into that bye.
They would have a lot of championships. They'd be really, really good. Would it be 6? Would it be 5? Would it be 4? I mean, it'd still be a lot. You'd still be the greatest of all time. But don't tell me somewhere along the line, right, that, you know, not just the extra wins that get you the bye. It's you get to take weeks off. So you get to, you know, load management, manage your roster. You just don't.
Huge.
You know, you literally don't have to show up. And you can manage that and factor that in. And the way these schedules have gone recently with week 16 and 17 are AFC East games. Like last year, you used that as a whole springboard.
Yeah, and I know I'm giving you guys a hard time, but can you imagine week 17 this year?
Miami.
You saw what they looked like in week
God.
Two. They had a guy duck out of the way of a pass.
Oh, no, we saw, yeah.
Can you imagine what it's going to look like in week 17 in Foxborough? You know, be like a, you know, a crisp 8 degrees.
I better be Stidham for 60 minutes.
All right, tell you what, that receiver, that running back who ducked, I don't blame him.
We promise, right back to your phones.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brady's the point guard right now in the gun for the Pats with a second down and 5 from the 19. He has Brown to his right with Gordon. Two receivers left. Brady's going to throw it to the end zone for Brown, fading it incomplete. And trailing in coverage, Jamal Wiltz again, the youngster on the spot against Antonio Brown.
Now if you're Brady now, you may have to change up that play call. When he goes to the helmet and that's set, when you have Gordon outside and Antonio Brown inside, he's looking for that back shoulder fade again. Antonio goes upfield a little more than fading it back to that pylon.
Brown departs. Got grabbed. Second down and 7 officially from the 10. Brady short drop. He throws the slant to Brown. Wasn't looking for it. And off the fingertips of the defensive back, Howard, incomplete.
You know what it is for Antonio, too? When he runs these slants, he wants to get open again. He's probably so used to Ben wait until he's open. They got to get on that same page with the quick slant.
Some of the media would say that Roethlisberger waited and pumped because he wasn't sure if the route Brown was going to run. Meanwhile, Brady with White to his left before a 3rd and 7 from the 10. Brown is split to the left. Edelman motions to the right across the formation. Brady takes the snap. He throws it for Brown to the end zone. Incomplete. Antonio Brown turning on the throw behind the defensive back, Eric Rowe, unable to make the adjustment and the catch.
It's a poorly thrown ball to the inside by Brady. Brady is going to want to have this one back because Brandon Brown beat him off the jam. Yeah, no chance on that. It's a good play by Rowe recovering. No clue where the ball is.
Yeah, ball off the right arm of Eric Rowe. Eric didn't see it.
Brady's so ticked at himself.
But he blocked it.
All right, Pablo, that's the 0 for 4 to Antonio Brown in the second half last week in Miami. We discussed earlier right off the top about his physical gifts and that. It's bound to work because Brady's the best and he's tremendous, and it's going to have to work.
Yep.
But the debut itself, what'd you make of the debut itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. The first half, it was great. In the second half, there was some adjustments. And I do think there was more man coverage. And we say this every week. I don't know how anybody can watch the Patriots and say, you know, I think zone might work this week. But
teams continue
to do it. And I know that not everybody has the quality cornerbacks to go out and cover man against Brown, Edelman, Gordon, and the like. But you have to at least try to compete. Even the touchdown. Jamal Wiltz is a kid that was here on the practice squad in the past. He's not necessarily a top-flight NFL cornerback. He had pretty good coverage in that play. The throw was perfect. The back shoulder touchdown. I think you're going to be able to make those kinds of plays with Brown as you get more and more comfortable. And I think the second one that I think that you showed in that clip was the same kind of play, only the throw went and Brown wasn't ready to go on the outside away from the defender. I think that might have been there again. And I think you'll see that, you know, as this goes on, you know, practicing, you know, for a couple of weeks, three, four weeks, I think you'll start to see more and more of the plays like the touchdown.
I mean, on the second one that Paul's talking about, to me, that's Brown not making the adjustment.
I agree.
You know, Brady's throwing to space there, I think. I mean, again, Zoe would know better. But to me, based on where the defender was, Brady put the ball in a spot where only his receiver could get it. And Brown didn't adjust to it. Like, he didn't see the same thing. When I say didn't adjust, he didn't make that read. He didn't say, well, the space is to my right. That's where Brady's going to put the ball. He went left. To me, that one's on the receiver. I don't put that one on Brady.
Okay, a few more phones here for Paul Perillo before he gets out of here. Dottie's been waiting patiently in Fall River. Yes, Dottie.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have a question on, where did you hear that it was 2 years for a criminal case for Pennsylvania?
That's what they said up in Allegheny County. It's what they said.
Well, I'm looking at the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape, and I've checked a few other sites. It's 12 years for criminal. It's 2 years for civil.
So what can I tell you? This is just, I mean, I'm not familiar with the statute of limitations in Allegheny County, but the here's the statement. Our office, along with the Allegheny County Police Department, made contact with counsel for the plaintiff in the federal lawsuit involving Antonio Brown. The Allegheny County District Attorney's Office told ESPN in a statement, quote, procedurally, it appears there is a statute of limitations issue in moving forward with any inquiry involving the Allegheny County allegation mentioned in the lawsuit. So that's just what they say.
It's coming from the Allegheny County District Attorney's Office.
Yeah, it's from the DA's office, yes.
Yeah, now maybe this is not necessarily, I mean, and I'm speculating, the rape. Maybe this is just the sexual.
Right. There were three incidents. These two happened outside of 2 years. The one in Miami happened inside of 2 years. So if Miami wanted to open it up, I don't think there's a statute of limitations.
But
there.
That comes right from the DA's office. So if that's incorrect information, I guess they'll have to correct that.
Yeah. Right. And just to be clarified, Mike, Miami was the alleged rape.
Was the rape. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So the point, though, is that if these municipalities are now looking at criminal investigations, that raises it to a whole different standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives Goodell even more impetus and more rights under the collective bargain agreement. It changes the way it's viewed PR-wise, criminal versus civil. It changes the way Kraft's going to approach, et cetera, et cetera. So Pittsburgh looked at it. And the only reason they backed away is they say statute of limitations. Is Miami going to do the same thing?
Good question. Again, if you're the Crafts, that should get your antenna up.
And if there's a $5 million check due to him on Monday, are you so eager to write that thing if Miami's still going to look at it that way? Or, you know, it feels like every day there's a different shoe to drop that he's dodging. You know, he just, you know, the statute of limitations saved him on this one. What's the next one? You know, are one of these going to stick? And at that point, where are you with the player?
Yeah, I told you that when the SI story came out the other day, and that even doesn't relate to this. I'm just saying that there's going to be something new with this guy every so often. I don't know if it's every other day, every week, every 2 weeks, or what, but this guy's a time bomb.
James in Coventry, go ahead.
All right, Mike, I have one quick football take, and then I want to give it to Paul. So my football take is Hightower last 2 years has been banged up and hasn't looked great. The first two games of this year, he looks like he's back to his old self. He's running and tackling. That's good. Now, for Paul, last week when I talked to you guys, you said you had to take a shower after my phone call. Go get your rubber ducky because you're going to need a bath after this one. These are accusations until proven otherwise.
Oh, I agree with that.
Country is founded on innocence until proven. No, that's not how you acted last week. You didn't agree with that.
No, that's not the case.
You're... Yes, because one person.
You're assuming that she's lying. I remember your call. You're assuming that the woman is lying. That's what you said last week.
No, you want to know what I
said last week?
Not even close. Yep. I said, I don't care until there is proof. Proof. If there is proof, a video comes out. He gets criminally charged and convicted. Any of those things happen, Paul, cut him tomorrow. End of story. Okay. That's how I feel.
So now we're totally in agreement.
I said proof.
Now we're totally in agreement. Last week you said the woman is lying. This week you're saying
that
if it comes out that he's proven guilty, that you'll cut him. So now we're in agreement.
I'm not going back and trying to find your call.
I'm not either.
And something tells me if he was wearing a different uniform, you'd have a different standard.
That's just no doubt about that.
That's just my guess on that caller.
I don't
but
care.
But he's not alone. There's a lot of people like that.
I told you.
I don't blame him.
She might be lying in this thing. I have no idea.
Absolutely could be lying. He said that she's lying.
Yeah,
I remember the call.
I'm not basing my decision on Antonio Brown on the case involving Brittany Taylor. I told you, go back to the spring. When Pittsburgh was looking to move him, I said, I'm in. Take him. Do it. Then the thing happened with the Raiders, and I said, forget it. Forget it. This guy's just a different kind of pain in the ass. He got what he wanted. He got out of Pittsburgh. He got to Oakland, and all he did was be a bigger pain in the ass. See you later. That was it for me. See you later. That Oakland thing, and then now this on top of it, it's a matter of time.
Yeah, you just as a Patriots fan, you know, all of us here, obviously, we all have a stake in the team doing well, right? It's good for business. What we all have to hope is that nothing else comes out. This accusation gets proven false, and you can enjoy watching the guy play. That's what we all have to hope for. But there's too many people assuming on both sides, and there's plenty of people that are assuming he's guilty too. But there's a lot of Patriots fans who are just closing their eyes and assuming that everything is fine. The truth is somewhere in the middle.
He's an impossible guy to root for.
It's hard.
Whether this thing turns out or not, he's impossible to root for. He's a selfish, self-absorbed, narcissistic, egomaniacal pain in the ass. That's what he is.
How can you look at me when you say that? Paul, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for ending with a... That was great, Mass. Thanks. Great way to go out.
See you, Paul. Okay, next week, Paul Perla will be back in studio. We have no commercials here. You are going to get breaking Tom Brady news right here in the update by Big Jim Murray. Something might have happened today at practice involving Tom Brady. Those details and the possibility of Antonio Brown landing on the commissioner's exempt list sooner rather than later, and the Patriots' willingness to stick with them, giving what is due on Monday. Those two items right here, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.